Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're going to talk about the dichotomy of the White Sox in the last 24 hours, where it's like, okay, turn the Titanic around. It's a slow turn that you're going to have. Moving to the future. Good stuff. And then we go right back to the past.
That is the face.
Tony La Russa joins the show. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Pat.
Turn it off.
Well, I learned a trick that what you're doing in the 70s, you subtract. So I'm actually 60.
Turn it off.
I feel fine personally. I start getting pains when I think about the season we had with the White Sox.
Oh, wait. Here's Pat Tomasulo. Hi, Pat.
I'm here. I'm folding laundry for my wife on my anniversary. And this is how good of a person I am. I picked up the phone after 3 missed calls from Shane. Talk to you two nudniks.
He only picked up the phone because he thought one of us was dead. That's only reason why he picked it up, because that's what happens when someone calls you 3 times.
Which one do you wish was dead out of the 4 of us? Lauren, Speeds, me, and Tanny.
Oh, boy.
And throw Mitch in there as a 5th.
All I'm saying is that there are going to be difficult choices to make, you know? Like Sophie's choices. Except more important, because it's going to be about me.
It depends on the day, buddy.
Well, look, I've had a good run, Pat, so if you need to say me, I'll take
that's
that for
true.
The team.
You're the oldest. We could eliminate you.
I basically wish you were dead.
Tribute to Cyrus would go on. They'd find somebody else.
Hey, wait a minute.
Everybody hates you. Everybody wishes that you were dead.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We are live at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage here in our beautiful downtown studios. We've got a crowd of beautiful people here.
So cool, man.
And they're very well trained. That is good. They have also been fed by the fine folks over at La Villa Tavern Cut Pizza. It's, oh my God. Like, when Shane said that they were coming by, I was like, oh, great. And then I looked at it, I was like, oh, yeah, we're doing that.
Yeah, there was like 30 pizzas in there. And then they're like, should we take out the other stuff? I'm like, the other stuff? If you need a piece of pizza, just, you know how it works, just clap your hands like a seal. Go, arr, 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 and Shane Reardon will go grab you a piece of pizza.
No, I literally won't. You guys
might.
Can go do it on your own.
Try it twice, and he might. No. You don't know.
He's not going to do that for you.
I'm sorry.
But it is only a few feet away, and you can go get it for yourself.
Oh, there's that.
And you can just hang out with it. But we're very appreciative that you all took time out of your day and obviously like came down here and parked, which is not always fun. So the fact that you're here to watch our little show is really meaningful to us, and thank you for coming by. We're going to try to have some fun today, too.
We're going to include them. There's going to be a crowd segment later, so if you got questions for us, we'll do an Ask Us Anything later on. And also, we're going to play categories today, and one of these people is going to qualify along the way to play categories with us in the 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I've got to figure out who it's going to be. Like, I need personality. So whoever has the most personality here,
Shane,
you will play categories
with us. How about sports knowledge?
No. Not necessary.
They might be out quick then.
I need
okay
personality.
With that. All right,
so
personality.
So if you want to do categories, flag me down at some point today. I'll pick one of you.
Well, I mean, okay. So get a pool together based on personality, and then I'll qualify them based on sports knowledge.
Execution
How about that?
Style.
Yeah.
Logan Paulson will join us at 2:40.
His name is Logan Paulson.
Yeah, he's going to join us, and we're going to talk quarterbacking with him because he played in Washington. He's done some really good analysis on quarterbacks. So we're going to talk with him about the two quarterbacks that might be in this game, which brings us to our first topic of the show today. This feels like a big game.
Our listener, Keith from Shorewood, who won the producer for a day and was with us like 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, said, you know, in a couple of weeks when that Commanders game comes, it's going to feel like a playoff game possibly. And I woke up today and I realized, wait a minute, that Lions-Vikings game and that Packers-Texans game from last Sunday, those kind of felt like playoff games, especially Lions-Vikings, like all of these division games because of the magnitude of the NFC North are going to feel like that. But I realized, yes, more so if Jaden Daniels plays, but even if he doesn't, like the Commanders and the Bears are formidable NFC teams, and this is a big one. Lawrence, it feels like it's got Game of Consequence written on it, and not just for maybe this is a game where we find out if the quarterback is for real, or maybe this is a game where we find out if the coach is any good. This feels like legit. Hey, this one will probably matter in the NFC standings at the end of the year, and it's been a long time since we felt that legit.
And because of what's happening in the rest of the NFC North this weekend, the Lions are taking on the Titans.
Yep.
The Packers are taking on Jacksonville. The Vikings are taking on the Rams. So you have it being very likely that the three teams that are ahead of the Bears are all going to win their games. Mm-hmm. So you want the Bears to be able to keep pace.
You better keep pace, without a doubt.
And then you have to start looking at the other teams around the NFC, like the team that you're playing, and another team in their division in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So it becomes a big game. And it's nice to be in this space where we're talking about big games.
Remember polls at the beginning of the year saying, look, time for that is over. It's time to win. Him saying it's time to win. And now here they are 4-2 coming off the bye. It is time to contend. It is time to win these games. Take the game seriously. Just go get a win. Caleb has already shown you he's happy to, you know, throw for 150 and not turn the ball over and run the ball like crazy and get a win. He could throw for three bills if you're going to like leave it open for him to do so, and he'll get a win that way. I think he legit doesn't care, which is what you want from a quarterback. He'll just do whatever the hell he's got to do to get wins on Thursday or Sunday or Monday.
Well, most of that stuff is for us, though. Like, I know the guys feel, I mean, Cole Kmet spoke to it earlier this week, the idea of the island games and being flexed into having more people be able to watch your games. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a big deal. But what I don't want is for Caleb Williams to not do well and be like, yeah, I was totally thinking about it being a big game instead of being in the big game. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So to me, it's all right. But let me add something to the big game feel of it.
Okay.
This morning, ran across the fact that Jim Nantz calling the game. Not only is that, he is offering analysis on this game with the folks over at CBS Sports HQ. Take a listen.
What it sparks the memory of for me is back in the days when CBS had the NFC package in Chicago and Washington, that was the type of game that we would be broadcasting every weekend. Is one of our golden oldies on our air, and it's very fitting that it lands in our lap this week in the national window late afternoon on Sunday for the whole nation to enjoy. I'm so excited about this matchup. It was not on our radar when the season began. Truly, it was supposed to be the Philadelphia at Cincinnati game. It was supposed to be the national game, but the story here is just too rich. Both teams doing so well. Both quarterbacks excelling and getting comfortable. We just hope Jaden is going to be able to play on Sunday. It's they say day-to-day, week-to-week. I don't have any inside information on that, but my hunch is he'll play. I saw him 2 weeks ago play at Baltimore. That was our main game on CBS, Washington at Baltimore. And, you know, Lamar Jackson was at home. Lamar did his thing. The Ravens won the game 30-23. But I had a chance, along with Tony and Tracy, we got a chance to meet with Jaden in the production meeting. He is, man, I'm telling you, he is one impressive young man who it just feels like he's way beyond his years. Then to see it in person, see what he brings to the field physically, there's incredible precision with his throwing. You can see right there, he's over 75% on the season. And a lot of these throws are with pressure, with players draped all over him or in his face, and he's able to make those tight throws into tight windows, take the hit and punishment. Now, I know that's, of course, led to the rib injury last week against Carolina, but super impressed by him. And Washington football is back. I mean, they hit on it. They just, everything hit at the right time. A great new coach and Dan Quinn, new ownership, new quarterback. And, you know, we're going to be talking about the Commanders. They've been in a slumber for 20 years. And now they're going to be a team to watch for years to come.
That's pretty cool. I love that. So Nantz does like a preview of their biggest game, the game that they're carrying. And the Bears and the Commanders getting flexed into that spot is awesome. He's right about Washington. And we'll talk about it a little bit with Logan Paulson. Like, you know, horrific ownership, as everybody knows, just embarrassing ownership. And I gave you this when we did Turn the Page yesterday. Last year in the NFL Players Association survey, Washington was dead last in like everything. They were 32nd out of 32 teams, according to the players, in facilities, belief in the ownership, meals. Like, apparently the meals were just ass in Washington.
Well, I not literally.
Well, I can't confirm or deny that, frankly. What they actually were, but they were bad.
I mean, you're into what you're into.
There's no kink shaming kink shame on this show.
We don't do that.
That is one of the rules. As long as everyone is of age and everyone is cool with it.
If that's not a kink, what is it? Just like normal happenstance?
In 2024, I think it might be.
Yeah, this is unfortunate. This entire conversation is unfortunate.
We'll talk in a break.
We found out a lot about Shane in that last minute.
And
we're all very uncomfortable.
We're all getting to know each other, Lawrence. It's like, you know, the crowd's getting to know us today. We're going to get to know each other today.
And we already know too much.
Yeah, we don't. You know what we don't know enough about? It's the Washington Commanders.
Well, we're going to fix that problem. Logan Paulson is going to join us.
Professional radio people.
What does he think about Caleb Williams? We will ask him next on The Score.
Third and goal at the 8 here with trips to the left. Inside the numbers, Austin Eckler's the back, moves to the right of Daniels. Four across the line for Carolina. Daniels, snap, throws to the right. Eckler hit as he makes the catch at the 5-yard line. Nice tackle by Chandler Wooten. We'll bring up fourth and goal from the 5. After that drive ended, Logan, you were about 5 feet away from the training staff looking at Jaden Daniels. What did you see?
Yeah, it looks like he's a little bit of discomfort at the moment, like left side, left rib area. He just went into the tent now, getting a more comprehensive look at it. They were trying to rub some ice on there and make him feel good. We'll keep you updated.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
This has got a big game feel to it. The Bears and the Commanders, 325 on CBS, Jim Nantz on the call, the two top picks in the draft.
Theoretically and hopefully.
But, well, I mean, just by the actual draft status is what I mean, but...
They will both be there, yes.
Yes, they will both be there, but maybe only one of them plays. I don't know. All I know is that as a show, we have been really impressed with Logan Paulson because of his breakdowns that he's done on multiple different quarterbacks in the game itself. And since we are talking about a team that he played for, might not be a bad idea to talk to him about this particular game.
Yeah, he's done great work on the Commanders. He was with the Bears for, was it 45 minutes, Logan? Or it was more than that, right?
It was a year, 2016, you know, not one of your better years.
We haven't had a lot of good ones. It's not like we have a deep history of good ones. I mean, just let's start there, because you knew then the Bears were starved for a good quarterback. It's been decades, and I bet it's similar to what's happening in Washington in terms of like, oh my God, I think we found one. That can change the entire dynamic of a franchise, can it?
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, you know, like the Commanders are very similar to Chicago in that way, exactly. Like, you know, this fan base here has been starving for a quarterback, and you know, this coming into this season, it's like, oh, you know, the Commanders are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, and then new owner, new head coach, new GM, new quarterback, and obviously the product on the field has flipped pretty dramatically, and it kind of feels the same way, just kind of in reviewing some of the stuff for this game for Chicago. So obviously the quarterback is the most important position in football, and when you get a guy that looks like he might be it can be pretty special and can definitely ignite a fan base.
Logan, we loved your Lamar Jackson breakdown. We were talking about it as a show. And like, it was so great. And you're one of the first people that I've heard talk about Lamar Jackson in that way. And I appreciate it as a fan of his, of you talking about him growing even after being a two-time MVP. Would love to know, from what you've seen on film of both quarterbacks, what do you think? And let's start with Jaden Daniels first. Like, what stood out about him?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, I mean, he's just been super impressive in terms of his kind of fundamentals from the pocket. And what I mean by that, he's got this really tight footwork, this really tight compact release. He's got a really nice snappy release of the football. And, you know, I've played with quarterbacks with really quick releases before, and it gets you out of a lot of trouble. And his ability to get to a good throwing platform with that footwork gives him access to more throws. And you kind of saw a little bit of that at LSU when you were watching the film, but to see it at the NFL level in this Cliff Kingsbury offense and everything they're able to access in the offense as a result of it is pretty special. And, you know, Marcus Mariota had a great game against Carolina, but it looked kind of like it was in low definition compared to how efficiently and how quickly Jane Daniels has been able to process stuff. And it sounds crazy because he's a rookie, but he just has prepared himself in a way. He's got the physical tools that you need. And again, doesn't have an overwhelming arm, but it's the kind of the fundamentals of the position, the footwork, the arm angles that have just been so impressive for him.
You know, that the footwork combined with the quickness of the release, it's so great to hear you talk about that, because I feel like the great quarterbacks in this league kind of all share it. Like Mahomes has that. We watched Favre and Rodgers have that. We're afraid that Jordan Love seems to have that. Just the ability to get rid of the ball that fast and on the run. You know, and Josh Allen, like all these guys, like to get rid of the ball so quickly and have the footwork to put themselves in a good position. So that was a revelation. Have you had a chance to watch Caleb, to Lawrence's question, and tell us what you like about Caleb so far?
Yeah, I have. I don't know if I've watched all his throws, but I think he's got 240 throws this year. And I think I've watched, you know, about 195 of them. So, you know, I've actually been really impressed with Caleb in the sense that, like, when you watched him at USC, there were all these wow plays on the tape, you know, him off schedule, kind of releasing the football across his body, able to get so much torque through his torso, didn't need a great base all the time. And I think the thing that kind of jumped out to me, especially probably the last three games for him, is his ability to play in schedule and on time in rhythm in the offense. And I think it's been a nice maturation for him from the first game to the last game against Jacksonville, in the sense that early in the season he looked a little bit like he was trying to play in rhythm, but it was a beat late, just a tick late. And every single week he got a little bit better, a little bit more efficient. And, you know, against Jacksonville, I thought he looked outstanding, just playing on time, understanding kind of when to kind of push for the spectacular, but also kind of railing it in. He had the bad interception, but I thought he did a lot of stuff that was very impressive.
He's also been navigating, trying to make sure that he can keep everyone happy. There's a bunch of guys on this team that have had success at other places, and so far he's done a pretty decent job of it. What's your advice to a quarterback that might be hearing, hey, I'm open, hey, give me the ball, hey, I need to get going early? How should a quarterback deal with a skill position player that's asking for the ball?
Yeah, I think that's a million-dollar question. I'd imagine there's a lot of guys in Chicago asking for it. You know, when I was going through the film cut-ups, it's just like, man, you've got a lot of big personalities that pop out on film. And so what I'd say is, like, that's part of the kind of the unwritten rule of the position, or kind of the, you know, the stuff that people don't talk about, is your ability to manage personalities and people. Like, I think back to when I was in Atlanta in 2018, with Matt Ryan as the quarterback. And, you know, you got Mohamed Sanu, you got Julio Jones, you got Austin Hooper, guys that were all kind of, you know, big personalities, wanted and deserved touches on the football. And Matt was such a strong leader that he was able to kind of manage their frustrations and be like, hey, man, you know, you're not the read on this. Like, we'll make sure you get your touch later, but let's like run the offense. And I think like that's part of growing up. And, you know, he's 22 years old, Caleb Williams is. I think that's something that'll come with time. But yeah, just being confident in yourself and being confident in the offense. And also, I think, you know, the offensive coordinator can help him out with that a little bit in terms of install. Like, I remember when I was with Kyle Shanahan in 2010, 11, 12, like, he was always really good about making it very clear to the position group players, you know, like the Santana Mosses, the Pierre Garçons, where the football was intended to go and kind of your role in the concept in creating space. And so I think that's something else that, you know, obviously Caleb's got to grow and mature in that way also. But I think the OC and, you know, the coaching staff in general can kind of help mitigate some of that responsibility, at least early on.
All right. So that Atlanta team you were on, we were talking about that era the other day. So you're there when Dan Quinn is there, you're there when Matt LaFleur is there, you're there when Mike McDaniel's there. I mean, there's not Saleh, but Jeff Ulbrich was there. Like, Raheem Morris, there's a big pile of head coaches there when you were there.
Yeah, I've had the great privilege of playing with a bunch of head coaches. I played with Matt LaFleur, obviously, when he was the quarterback coach or the assistant quarterback coach in Washington. I missed him when he was in Atlanta. Okay. But then when I was in San Francisco in 17, I got to play with all those coaches again. I got to play for with, you know, like Jeff Ulbrich while he was coaching in Atlanta. And so, yeah, it's been very special. I've been very blessed to kind of see some very, very talented football minds, guys with a lot of experience, guys with a lot of coaching charisma, do it at a high level and kind of early on kind of see what it takes in the early stages of being a coach to kind of progress to the next level. So, yeah, I count myself very, very blessed.
What does it take and does Dan Quinn have it?
Oh, I mean, Dan Quinn's got it in spades. You know what I'm saying? Dan Quinn is one of the most unique guys I've been around as a head coach. There's no like right answer. There's no magic sauce. It's like guys who work hard, guys who understand people. You know, the same things that make good CEOs, I think, also make good head coaches. And Dan, like, his superpower, in my estimation, is his ability to relate to people, to get the most out of people, to understand what people do well, and then maximize those. You know, obviously, like when I played for Kyle in San Francisco, like he's a schematic football kind of savant, you know, and he elevates people because of the pen and because of his study. Dan elevates you as a person kind of through his psychological support of you. And it's a different style, but I think it's been infectious here in Washington. And, you know, you talk about Jeff Ulbrich up in New York. When I was in Atlanta, I've never been around a coach who's had such a strong belief in the players in his room. And I'm sure he's brought that up there to the New York Jets with him. So obviously there's many different ways to skin a cat. And I've played with guys who've done it different ways, but I'd say Dan's kind of best ability is his ability to understand what a player does well.
Struggling on the Zoom connection with
Logan Paulson. Inspire confidence in that person. So,
well, we still got you now, and I love that answer. Sorry. That no, it's You're not good. Your fault. It's technology's fault, man. Mm-hmm. Blame technology. That's what I'm about. Anyway, to go back to what we were discussing
Lawrence
earlier.
Lawrence is afraid the robots are going to take over, Logan.
They are. Hello. I've seen every dystopian movie ever, and that's how it always goes. But I wanted to ask you, too, since you play for both franchises, what's it like for you to look at this and go, oh, look, this is maybe them taking that next step to being relevant on a national level instead of just a local and regional one?
Yeah, it's kind of special, you know, like, because, you know, you always, as a player, you always have this notion and this thought, oh, I want to be part of building something great, you know. And unfortunately, like, my time in Chicago, like we already talked about, was very short. My time with the Commanders was a little bit longer, but it never got rolling. And, you know, there were signs of it. Obviously, I was here in 2012 with Robert Griffin III, and that felt really special. But obviously, that falls apart in 2013. And so to kind of see both franchises on the precipice of something potentially very special, you know, they might have the quarterback, they seem to have the right coaching trees, the right playmakers around both quarterbacks. It's exciting. It kind of signals to me like a little bit of a shift in the NFL, which is always super fun. Like, that's one of the fun things about the NFL, is that it's not always the same. There are different things. There are differences each and every year, and there are different dynasties. And, you know, like, you need quarterbacks to have good dynasties, good football dynasties. And this is kind of, again, what makes this game on Sunday so interesting, is this the start of something? Is this the start of a rivalry, a quarterback comparison we're going to be talking about for the next 10 years? I don't know, but it is definitely kind of cool to be in a front row seat to that.
Last thing for you, Logan Paulson, we really appreciate the time, man. How much changes, you think, if it's Mariota instead of Jaden Daniels from Cliff Kingsbury's perspective?
You know, I think obviously there's a tremendous, tremendous confidence in what Jaden does and how efficient and how effective he's been as a decision maker for the quarterback, obviously for the Washington Commanders. And so I think like that is something that can't be overstated in terms of value to the coordinator. And what I mean by that is, like, you just trust that the guy's going to do the right thing down in and down out. I mean, there was a 3-game stretch, 4-game stretch where he was completing 80% of his passes this year, which is absolutely insane. Just speaking to how fastidious he was with the football. And then you look at Marcus Mariota, very different style. We talked about, you know, Jaden's quick release, his ability to get the football out on time. Mariota doesn't really play that way. So he kind of likes longer developing stuff. He likes to see stuff come open. He's not going to throw with the same level of anticipation. He's going to hold the football a little bit longer. So as a play caller, if you're Cliff, I think you got to lean into what this team does really well, which is run the football. We've got He's got a really innovative running system, kind of spreading guys out to run the football. They get into some unbalanced stuff. They do some quarterback read stuff, kind of as a way to supplement, obviously, the run game, but also as kind of an analogous for their quick game. And I think that's something that still translates with Mariota. I think in terms of like passing the football, I think you'll see more kind of play action shots down the field, more longer developing things where you can really cultivate space. And Mariota can see that a little bit better. I know that's kind of a subtle distinction, but I think that's kind of what I'm keeping an eye on for the Commanders on Sunday if Mariota were to play.
Logan, this was delightful. Thank you so much for your time. Incredible analysis. Stay well and continued success.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on. It's always a blast.
You got it, man. Thank you. It's Logan Paulson. You know how many starts for Marcus Mariota in the NFL? Think about it. Think about what your guess would be.
64.
74. Dude has played a lot,
yeah.
But that is a key thing that he just said, and we've watched some quarterbacks in recent years here, not anticipatory throwers, holds the ball a little long. Sometimes he will leave a clean pocket is something else that I heard about Mariota. So it is a drop-off. It is a massive drop-off from the truly impressive rookie.
We're going to hear from the Bears coordinators, and I would like to take a moment and talk specifically about one of them. We also got some answers to some questions we've been having for weeks about the Bears offense. That's next here on The Score.